The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my co-host, fellow realtor, husband, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How you doing today?
Great. How are you?
Wonderful.
All right. This is the topic that you like to talk about. We have with us Nicole Bardo, generator specialist with Friedman Electric. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we review various real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been selling, listing, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners Live Webcam tab. You click on that and you can see what the weather is, and we've had some interesting weather, haven't we?
Well, at this point, I hope we're not checking.
We're done.
Yeah, I hope we're finished with that, but it did come in handy during that blizzard until the snow.
The snow actually went over the camera.
Yes, on the roof. I was
out there with a 16-foot pole with a broom on the end of it.
But our friends in warmer climates were laughing. Yes, having a ball with that webcam, but it was good to check out before, you know, the snow covered it. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, and look us up on Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook. Nicole Bardo, generator specialist with Friedman Electric. Could you tell me a little bit about your company and yourself, please?
Sure. Friedman Electric has been around for 80 years, and we have been selling electrical supplies normally through Northeast Pennsylvania. Since then, we also sell generators. I've been in this role currently a year now, coming from electrical background for 16 years.
Okay. So I didn't realize Friedman Electric had a generator specialist. So you sell a lot of generators.
Yes, we do. We sell standby and portables.
Okay. So what happens typically when we have something like an upcoming blizzard? What happens to
tornado,
which we had both in several weeks ago. What happens to your life?
My life becomes hectic. Okay. Everybody is calling, looking for portables at this point. It's a little rushed to get a standby in place. So we stock up on the portables and everybody
seems to want
gobbling them up.
Yeah, they fly off the shelves. So usually, these past events, we didn't lose power. Some may have, not many in our area, but if the snow was a little heavier, it could have been complete area outage.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people would have been
in desperate need of a portable so they don't lose their freezer, so they can still have their pumps running and heat in their house.
Right. And well pumps.
Absolutely.
Okay. So usually a portable won't supply power to the whole entire house.
It will not. It'll supply to selected circuits in the house. Normally we do the most important ones.
Okay.
That would be heat.
That would be heat. And that would be your refrigerator and freezer. And if you have a well pump or a septic pump.
You want those to operate.
Absolutely.
So sometimes people, you know, go with what they need, obviously, in a situation like that. So the portables, what are the sizes they come in?
They range from 3,000 watt up to 15,000 watt.
Okay. So, and obviously different prices.
You pay per watt? Who?
Smaller ones.
How many times a day do you hear that?
What's the ballpark in terms of expense there?
Smaller ones will start around 400, and then you can go all the way up to 3,000.
Okay, on a portable.
On a portable.
Okay. Wow, on a portable you could spend $3,000?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And people do.
They do.
Yeah, if they have greater needs, I'm sure.
Yeah, so a portable will run on, what do they usually run on?
Normally, they run on gas.
Gasoline?
Yes.
How long do they, when you put the gas in it, how long do they run?
Each one varies, but most of the time, they're going to run about 24 hours.
24 hours?
Yes.
How many gallons are usually in each one? Five?
Five.
About 5 gallons? Okay. It's 24 hours. That'll keep everything running. Well, what you need running, you know, all the essentials, keep the heat on, a couple of lights.
Absolutely.
Refrigerator. That's what you need.
So what do you do to help people understand what they need as opposed to what they want? If they're looking to obviously spend the least amount of money on a generator, but want to be protected, and especially if it's the time of year we need the heat on, what do you do? How do you help them determine the size that they need?
We find out what size pump they have or what size furnace they have and or freezer, refrigerator, and then we size it for them for just their basic essentials.
Okay.
To get them the lowest watt generator for their needs.
Okay. You can also look at electric bills?
Absolutely.
All right. And you can determine by usage?
By usage of the electric bill, it'll have a max KW on that. And what we do is we take a year supply of your electric bill and we figure out what kind of KW you're looking for. We normally do that more on the standby units.
Okay. So where do you put the portable?
Outside.
Right.
Preferably. You don't want it to be in the garage. You don't want it to be
covered.
You do not want it to be covered.
Under a carport.
Right.
Awning or anything.
You want the exhaust fumes to go away from the house.
And how far away from the house?
Normally about 10, 15 feet. You can put them closer as long as it's not by an open window.
So have carbon monoxide detectors in the house.
Absolutely.
Operating so that in the event that you need to use this portable.
Absolutely.
You know if something is going wrong.
Right. So you mentioned KWs. KW is a kilowatt, right? That's 1,000 watts?
Yes.
That's what that is. Okay. See, I know what you're talking about.
You do.
I do. I have a little idea.
So on the portable, do you need to have a sub panel?
You do not. They do offer one that you can manually back up your panel. If not, you can always take a cord and a plug and plug it in that way as well.
Okay. What do you recommend?
I would recommend doing a panel. That way, when there is a power outage, you can go plug your generator into this panel and that will back up all the circuits that are in there.
Okay.
All right. So I've read some horror stories of where people actually try to plug in to the outlet and put juice into the outlet, and they figure that that will power part of the house. Is that a good idea?
That is not a good idea.
That's a very bad idea.
It is a very bad idea. I do agree.
Right. I've seen stories of people trying to do that. They don't flick the breaker on the panel. They end up charging the lines outside, and it could be a catastrophe. So you have to have some knowledge of what you're doing when you're doing this.
Absolutely. And like I said, the best way to do it is to have that panel already mounted, so when you do have a power outage, you can go and plug your generator into that panel.
Sounds good to me.
Also, something else that I read about safety is do not take extension cord after extension cord after extension cord and keep plugging those into one another.
Right, the longer the extension cord, the worse it is.
Yes.
And what kind of extension cord? There's a certain gauge that you should be getting here for these types of...
Yes, I would say 14 gauge.
Yeah, 14 gauge.
The more expensive ones.
Absolutely.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, you don't want to use a small extension cord
that you can get at the dollar store.
I would not recommend that.
Okay.
I got it on the clearance rack.
Obviously, the sub panel would not be a DIY project, so I would assume that an electrical contractor would be needed for that, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, there are standby generator systems, which I would think are more expensive.
Yes, they
are.
Am
I correct?
Yes.
Okay. But they have their place in life.
They do. If you are not in the market for a portable and you do want a backup generator, standbys are a great way to go. We have them from 7.5 kW up to a 22 kW. They will run off of liquid propane or natural gas. When they do come to us from Generac, the fuel conversion is a switch inside of the generator that you turn.
So when you lose power, it's seamless?
It is seamless once you get everything installed, yes.
How about when power comes back on? Does it automatically turn off? Like if you're not in the area, what happens?
It will automatically turn back off. Once utility power is back, the generator will turn back off.
And you won't lose juice in the house or anything? It'll be
you
seamless?
Will not. It is nothing? Seamless. Yes. Okay. And the way it works, the only concern with the standbys are make sure the placement is correct.
So placement is very important.
You where do you want to keep it 18 inches away from the wall. And you want 36 inches on each side of it. We have had generators where they have put shrubs around them and they do not run. So we end up, or our electricians end up, cutting the shrubs down. They are an air-cooled engine and they do need to breathe.
Okay. So in reading up on generators, it's really not something I have to say that the reading wasn't exciting, but so I've learned all this stuff about air cool and liquid cool. And then they're describing these standby systems, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me what air cool means versus liquid cool?
Sure. Air cooled is an air cooled engine. It sucks air in from the sides of the generator and that keeps the engine cool and running.
Okay.
Those are the sizes 7.5 kW to a 22 kW.
So mostly for residential.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The liquid cooled have fluid going through them, and that's what cools those engines. Those are larger units. They can go from a 22 kW up to 150
kW. Wow.
I think I could power the block with this.
Yeah, right. So that's mostly for commercial or industrial usage.
Yes, we do some liquid cools for residential, depending on the size of the house as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you get into a liquid cooled, you talk about a cooling system, a radiator, you need a water pump, you need it. It's like almost
it's
like a car engine.
Like, it's exactly,
it's like a car
that's
engine.
Exactly how it was described.
They're big engines.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
To turn a big generator. So you, yeah. And these all run off natural gas or propane.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
So then obviously expensive. More expensive.
They are more expensive than the portables.
They're
yes.
The Cadillac.
By the time you have them installed by an electrician.
But if you want your whole house powered and there's a power outage, that's the way to go. I mean, if that's what
that
you
is
want.
The way to go.
Okay. Well, you know, there's obviously places that lose power quite frequently. Areas of the country, down here in the city, we don't lose our power, but it can happen.
Absolutely.
After Hurricane Sandy, New York,
they
weeks
turned down in. Well, my dad lived down on the beach, and they turned off the water. They turned off the natural gas. They turned off the electricity. You couldn't live in the houses. They were trying to drive everybody out, but that was all for safety. So it was terrible.
But even
there.
On Long Island,
yeah, on Long Island, Eileen, my sister, she lost power for a week in the middle of that hurricane, and that was. And my father and my mother were out there with her. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I don't even want to even talk about, you know, they talk about the power grid and how it becomes less reliable every year, and it's...
You would think it would be more reliable.
You would think, but, you know, that's scary stuff when you start to think about that, or terrorist attack, so on and so forth, and what could potentially happen. So a generator is a pretty good idea, whether it's a portable or a standby.
Yes.
Okay. Nicole, would you give us your contact information at Friedman Electric? We're going to head towards a break, but before we do, please, your phone number, website.
Absolutely. My phone number is 570-259-1331. My email address is Nicole, Nichole, Bardo, Bardo, at FriedmanElectric.com. And you can also visit our website at www.friedmanelectric.com/generators.
And all that information that we just spoke of is on your website.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Yes. We have a gorgeous two-bedroom, two-bath condominium at 550 Clay Avenue in Scranton for $144,000. Never shovel snow again. Sounds good to me. Or worry about cutting the grass. Enjoy maintenance-free living. This house, it had an open renovation, and it's really beautiful, and it's something that sets this apart from other condos. It has stainless steel appliances, granite countertops, and custom backsplashes, all done by Jaden Riley Interiors. This is the only unit. It's on the ground floor. It's got private rear access to a 250-foot square sunroom with its own heat and cooling systems. It really is a beautiful condo. That's a two-bedroom, two-bath condo at 550 Clay Avenue in Scranton for $144,000. And that's listed by Dan Taylor of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And I have highlights from the profile of home buyers and sellers from National Association of Realtors, the characteristics of home buyers in 2016. First-time home buyers made up 35% of all home buyers, and that was an increase over 2015, which was an all-time low of 32%. The typical buyer was 44 years old. And again, for the third straight year in a row, the median household income for 2015 rose to $88,500. 66% of recent buyers were married couples, 17% were single females, 7% were single males, and 8% were unmarried couples. 11% of homebuyers purchased a multi-generational home, and that was to take care of aging parents, or for cost savings, or because the children over the age of 18 were moving back home with mom and dad.
Oh, no, not in the basement.
Yeah. I have to say, as my child gets older, I don't care if he ever leaves. He can stay there till he's 50. That's how I feel.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
how
really?
Do you feel about that? You want him to go, yeah.
18, there's
yeah,
the dog.
All right, okay. No, not no. Mom. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back after a very brief break.
What can a Century 21 agent do for you? They show your home, solve your problems, and pet your dog. They provide the service of a butler and the savvy of a business tycoon. They explain the market, love a good barbecue, and never drink milk from the carton, so invite one over. They do your homework, legwork, and sometimes yard work. Basically, they provide some TLC to YOU. This is who they are. This is what they do. Century 21 agents. Smarter, bolder, faster. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.
Call 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's JRUDDY.com.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning again. How you doing?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm electrified.
Okay, we have with us Nicole Bardo, generator specialist with Friedman Electric out of Scranton, Pennsylvania. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great. Nicole, Friedman Electric has been around for 80 years, and you service all of Northeast PA.
Yes, we do.
And you sell generators. You're a generator specialist. You sell generators to the public as well as to contractors?
Yes, we do, and electricians.
Okay. So we were talking about the difference between the portables and the standbys, and then obviously the size and the cost and all the factors into what somebody would need in terms of size and how placement is so very important, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Another important, which we didn't talk about, but another important part of this is the size of the
transfer switch
and gas line.
And the gas line, absolutely. Gas line is probably one of the most crucial parts of the generator. If your gas line is not properly sized, it's too small, the generator will not start because it's not getting enough fuel. That is one of the most typical problems that we run into.
Really?
Absolutely.
Time and time again, this is what you see over and over again.
This is a problem. Okay. We do get phone calls. Their generator will not start. So we will send a Generac certified tech out, and it comes back that the gas line is too small.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do then?
We call the gas company, and the gas company has to normally go out and replace the gas line to the correct size so the generator gets the right amount of fuel that it needs to run.
Okay.
They have changed the generators. They came out with new generators October last year, which do have a fuel reservoir inside of them now. So it does store some fuel to make up for the gas line being improperly sized. But still, it's very important. You want that gas line to be the right size.
Okay. And so the transfer switch, the size of that also matters.
Yeah. What's a transfer switch?
Transfer switch, there's two different types. You can do a service entrance rated transfer switch, which normally goes on the outside of your house. It comes from your meter that's outside into the transfer switch, and that backs up your whole panel inside of your house. You do not need to use that kind if you are only backing up certain circuits, if you only want a few items backed up in your house. You can go with a sub-panel and just back up the circuits that are in that sub-panel as well.
So a transfer switch transfers you from the generator to public utility? Is that really what it does?
Yes, it'll take, if public utility power is lost, that transfer switch will automatically transfer to generator power.
And then the generator gets on. What does the generator do then?
The generator will start.
It better.
It does. A lot of people in this area, they go to Florida for the winter, and they don't want to have to worry about their house and running out of power and stuff going bad when they're not here. So we do a lot for that. There's a lot of senior living facilities in the area as well, and we back them up. So when they do decide to go to sunny Florida and enjoy that weather while we're stuck up here in the snow, their house is protected.
They have peace of mind.
They do. A lot of times they will back up their security system as well.
Right. No electricity, no security.
They don't have to worry about that.
I like that.
Good move.
It is. It's very nice.
We don't have those worries.
Going to Florida?
Yeah, we go for several months. We don't have those worries.
Oh, I'm going to my house on Mar-a-Lago. I'm going down to hang out with the president.
What about portable? We talked about the portable generators, and you can see I'm just going to ignore what you just said.
Say, obviously. Okay. It's just like, it's just like home. It's just like at home.
But when I'm thinking about something, I have to mention it. So these portable generators, they're really not that easy to use, are they?
Not really. No. You do not want to go
down. They can be a little bit complicated. I mean, we talked about some of the dangers in the first half of the show, but I don't think I would know what to do.
If you're not familiar with how they hook into your panel, or you have a panel already ready for the portable generator, they can be very hard and difficult for the homeowner to use. Yes.
Okay.
Right. What are you going to have? 50 electrical cords running all over the house? And how are you going to run an extension cord into your boiler to fire up the boiler number one and keep your circulator pumps moving?
But if you're not using it, my thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, how do you know it's going to work when you go to use it? How would you know? You're just relying on this. I mean, are they reliable?
They are reliable, but you do want to make sure there's oil and the oil has been changed and maintained, that the gas is not bad and has been sitting for a couple years in the portables. That's the only bad thing with the portables. If you're not using them, they never really get run. Where the standbys do their automatic exercising once a week.
What do you mean? They just start up by themselves?
They will start up and they run by themselves once a week to make sure all the fluids and hoses and belts stay in good condition.
And what if, does it have some kind of an alert? Do I have to go out there and inspect it, or does it alert me?
It can do two different ways. There is a red light, which on your generator, if you get a red light, there is something wrong and it needs attention. If the green light is on, it's up, it's running, and everybody's happy. They also do make a mobile link, which will link to your cell phone, your smartphone, and it gives you alerts. Every week it runs, it'll let you know that your generator is up and running well. Or if there is an error, it'll send you a text with that error as well.
So if I'm down in Florida and my generator kicks on, it'll send me a text that it's all running well?
Text, email, yes, it does. And it'll let you know that everything is working properly.
Well, you know, smartphones are nice and for the most part reliable, but there are times that we lose service. Right?
Really? Oh, I know.
Believe it or not, there are still places that don't have cell phone service.
Right, right. Yeah. So, it's good to have that option.
Absolutely.
But not all times would you be able to rely on that totally.
Right. And the mobile link itself does work off of cell phone signal. So you need to make sure where you put it, you do have cell phone signal.
Okay.
What's the longest you've ever heard of anybody having to depend on a standby generator?
In our area, we've had people 3 days without power.
3 days.
3 days. Could you imagine?
No. No, I can't.
No water.
I wouldn't be able to stay
there.
No heat. You can't stay there.
You can't. Absolutely not.
No heat, no water. My son wouldn't be able to take it. He'd have no electronics.
My son would be no iPad. It would be terrible.
It would be terrible.
Absolutely.
Was that for a whole house?
It was for a whole house. So when they lost the power, it automatically kicked on and it ran. So they could continue on with their day-to-day life.
Comfortably. And it's running off the natural gas. And he's not running around with 5 gallons of gas every 12 hours trying to fill it up.
Nope. Absolutely.
Like I said, we were talking about our friend up in Newton. They had a power outage. She was out for 2 or 3 days. And she couldn't stay at the house because not only didn't she have lights and heat, she had no running water.
She had to go to a hotel.
She had to go to a hotel. And then after 3 days, if it's freezing out, like you come back to the house.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster. What if you got frozen pipes? What are you going to do when everything turns back on? It's going to be squirting out of everywhere.
Then that's you have a big mess.
That's when I'll say I should have spent the money on the generator.
Absolutely. Anybody who's been without power for any significant amount of time, it is definitely worth the investment.
I would say so. But, you can have the essentials powered or you can have the whole house. It depends on you, your budget, your wants, your needs. And so you also talked about the break that you had somebody that was very interested in making sure their what operated if there was ever a power outage?
Their hot tub.
Okay.
Oh, how could you live without a hot tub? I don't know.
Even during a power outage, people do want
something.
Their hot tubs.
You got to do something.
Absolutely.
That's important, I guess. So, all right, Nicole Bardo, generator specialist with Friedman Electric. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
My phone number is 570-259-1331. My email is Nicole, Nicole.Bardo, Bardo, at FriedmanElectric.com. Or they can visit us at our website, www.friedmanelectric.com/generators.
We want to talk to you more about generators. Would you come back next week?
Absolutely.
We'd love to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pat?
Yes, we have a great deal on a 2-bedroom, 2-bath home at 612 Cypress Street in Troop for only $84,000. This home has an updated kitchen, 1-car garage, a fenced-in flat yard, new windows, and a fresh paint job. The taxes are only $1,300 a year. I wish my taxes were $1,300. It has off-street parking, and it is only 1 block away from Washington Street Park. That's an updated 2-bedroom, 2-bath home with a garage and low taxes at 612 Cypress Street in Troop for only $84,000, and that's listed by Dan Taylor of our office.
Oh, thank you, Pat. According to the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors, guess what the most sought-after smart home product is, Pat? Guess. Just take a wild guess.
Heat.
Voice control. It's the most wanted.
Oh.
Home product this year. Nearly 3/4 of the respondents who have a smart home product say they want voice control. Those who want the products are also looking to control entertainment, smart lighting, and smart temperature. And these people were born in... Who are these people? Do you know?
Millennials.
You got it. They're the people born from 1977 to 95. They lead the pack with already having voice control in their homes. 58% of millennials have voice control features for their smart home products, followed by 50% of the Generation X people and 26% of the baby boomers. Across the generations, those with children want voice control activation for their smart home products. 81% of parents want the ability to control their smart home products with their voice, and 65% of those people already have it. The majority of the respondents said they seek voice control for their smart home products to have hands-free control, increased user friendliness, and the flexibility with their location. The smartphone is a leading product that has led people to seek this voice control feature.
Didn't we say, remember we had the internet security guys on a couple of weeks ago?
I think it's
bad, yes. And they said that all of these devices open up your network to...
For security issues.
For security purposes, because they're basically dumb devices. They're created for this one purpose. And if you're very specific, you can get in. All right, so...
Yeah.
Now I just shot down all the smart stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what the consumers want, and that's, you know, what's driving this, so consumer demand. So remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. During the week, call us 570-344-6724 or visit jready.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com.